2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting from verse 1.
Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality.
Now here St. Paul is trying to encourage the Church of Corinth. Church of Corinth decided to give something for the Church of Jerusalem. And they were gathering some kind of fund to give it to the Lord. They started a year ago and could not finish it. So now St. Paul sending Titus back to Corinthians to gather some fund. Now, this is not a good subject for anyone to talk about. But the St. Paul, as I said last week, we saw how courageous St. Paul is. So he is not ashamed to tell the truth. So he is trying to say, let me tell you what God has done in the churches of Macedonia. Now the Macedonia church was a persecuted church. They had lots of problems and lots of poverty. And so he said, see what happened to this church. Read the second verse.
How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality.
Now he's saying they were afflicted, they had so much problems, but what happened to this church? They start giving to God. And so they give it to God not only a little bit, but they give it liberally. That means whatever the St. Paul was thinking these people should give, those people give more than what St. Paul was thinking. Amen. So let's read the verse 3.
For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves.
Now St. Paul is trying to tell this Corinthian church, I want to testify about this church, about the church of Macedonia. They did not give according to what they had, but they gave more than enough. So he said, I am giving a testimony that somebody from that church, mean Church of Macedonia, they were so liberally giving. Now why St. Paul is saying this? Because there is always a testimony. When God blesses you, you tell somebody how you bless. Amen. Maybe physically, maybe financially, maybe spiritually, whatever the way you got blessed, you tell others. So the St. Paul is talking behalf of this Macedonia church. And see what the church was doing. Let's read verse 4.
Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints.
You know, most of the time, somebody has to ask somebody, we need help, give us help. But they said this church was doing opposite. This church was praying and asking us and begging us, we want to give you something. We want to give you some gift. And they were bugging us that we have some money stored and we want to give it to the ministry, give it to the poor saints of God. And they were bugging us and they were telling us, please take it, take it. We didn't have to force them, but they were forcing us. And they were trying to encourage us, please take this money and use it for the glory of God. So that's the good lesson for us. Nobody has to tell you to give. You have to have a desire to give. Verse 5.
And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God.
These people give beyond what the St. Paul was thinking. And he says, how this happened? Because they gave their life to God first. They were really saved. His word of God said, they gave their life to the Lord. Before you give any money to God, God wants your heart. If my heart does not belong to God, then giving to God is useless. God loves who? cheerful giver. If I'm giving something grudgingly, if I'm giving something because I have to give, if I'm giving something to please the pastor or please the church or please somebody, then that giving is no good. They give their life to God, and then he says it, because he said they give themselves to God, and then they start saying, I want to give something to you. I want to give to something to the Lord. And they decided in their heart, and they start giving. Verse 6.
Insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also.
Because Titus just came, last week we learned, he just came and gave the report how the Corinthian church is doing, how they are thinking about Paul, how they are crying and weeping, and they're completely, really, really, genuinely changed now. And so St. Paul is saying, we thought it's a good idea, send Titus back to you and gather some money from you. And he says, these people gave it to the Lord, and I want you also be sharing the grace of God. Means these people gave it to us by his grace. Without the grace of God, you cannot do anything. Even though you want to do something, if you don't have the grace of God, you cannot do it. So he said, you want to share the same grace? You want to share the same kind of opportunity that Macedonian church has? So we are going to send Titus to bring it. And so he's trying to prepare their heart. When the Titus comes, Titus doesn't have to beg the money, but they will be already ready to give. Verse 7.
Therefore, as he abounded in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also.
What he's trying to say, I have seen some goodness in you. Means you're doing everything good. What they're doing, you have good faith. You have so many good preachers. You have lots of good knowledge. And you have all kinds of gifts that God has given to you. That means you have abundance of grace. But do you have a grace of God to give to the Lord? That's what he's trying to say. Use that God-given talent. People can preach, people can testify, people can do so many things. They say, I have faith and all of these things. He said, I want to see that all of your gifts God has given to you in giving. In short, what he's trying to say, if I really love the Lord, then I'll give it to the Lord. People can preach a good sermon. Some of the people, I'm talking about the ministers, they preach a good sermon, but they themselves do not give it to the Lord. They encourage other people, give, give, give. And if you ask them, do you give your tithe? If you don't give your tithe, how can you tell others to give? Now somebody will ask the same question. Pastor, do you give your tithe? I should not be bragging. We give more than the tithe. So point I'm making, here he's saying, you have good preachers, you have good talent, you have good faith, you are so good people, but I want this all goodness abound in you in giving to God. That's what I want to say. Verse 8.
I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love.
Now he's saying, I'm not saying this, that God gave me this commandment. Now some people will say, well, that means giving to God is not command. No. We are not in the Old Testament. We are not under the law. We are under the grace. If you are not under the law, and the Ten Commandments or the law, then we don't have to give. Because according to the Mosaic law, you have to give 10%. But now we are not under the law, so why are we giving 10%? That's the question comes. Then the answer is this. Abraham gave the first time 10% to the Melchizedek, and that time law was not even started, right? So he gave before the law. Then his son Isaac, we learn that he sowed in the famine and he got a hundredfold in return. God is not going to give somebody a hundredfold return if you don't give it to the Lord. So he gave it to the Lord. Then we see his son, Jacob. When he was running from his brother Esau, what he said, Lord, I'm going empty-handed. I don't have anything. But if you prosper me and bring me back safe, I will give 10% to you. And so what happened? He got lots of money and lots of riches. And so in short, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they start giving to God before the Mosaic law started. You understand? The point I'm making, if somebody asks you, oh, you are in the grace and you are in the new covenant, why do you have to be bound to give like a 10% in the Old Testament? We are not bound. We are free. Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and what? Truth shall set you free. Free from everything. We are not in bondage. There are some people will tell you, oh, Sabbath is the commandment, and so you have to observe the Sabbath. We are not under the Sabbath, we are under the grace. So in short, the word of God is saying, St. Paul is saying, I am not giving you as a commandment. But he says, I got a chance to tell you. What was the chance? The Macedonian church got blessed. And they gave it to the Lord. That's why I wanted to tell you this, that if you really love the Lord, prove your love in giving. The word of God said, God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave. What did he do? He gave his only begotten son. That proves the love. How do you know God is good? Because he is loving. He gave his only son for the mankind. If you really love the Lord, prove your love with a sincere heart. That's what God wants. Okay, let's go to the verse 10.
And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so that it may be a performance also out of that which ye have.
So here he's saying, you people are thinking about giving, giving, giving. 1 year passed, so why don't you speed up and try to give what you desire? Don't wait too long. Perform means be active and give what you desire. Verse 12.
For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not.
If somebody said, I want to give something to the Lord, and you promise $10,000, if you promise something and if you don't have it or you don't give it, that promise is vain promises. What God is saying, when you promise something and you don't have anything, that promise is zero. You understand? One lady called me, she said, I pledged $1,000 to the one minister. And then what happened? I didn't have the money. And I start feeling guilty. Say, Pastor Peter, what should I do? I said, ma'am, you promised somebody an empty promise. If you didn't have anything, why did you promise? There are some people will tell you, you promise to God and God will provide. Do the faith promise. Sounds good. But here St. Paul says, if you don't have anything, and you start thinking, I want to give something, that has no value. If I get $1,000 someday, then I'll give $1,000. That promises is no good. That's what he's saying. Read one more time.
For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not.
If you have a desire to give something, if you have something, that is valuable. But if you say something, I want to give something, and you don't have anything, then there is no use of it. So in short, what he's trying to say, don't give false promises. False promises are no good. If you cannot keep the promise, you don't give the promise. So he said, if you desire something, if you have something in your pocket, give. Now I heard some television people will tell you, give until it hurts. Borrow the money and give. He said, you borrow the money to buy your house, didn't you? Why don't you borrow the money to give it to the Lord? That is all false teaching. Amen. You cannot borrow to give it to the Lord, like robbing the bank and giving to church. God doesn't want that. God says, we are not forcing you to give. What God says, he gives seeds to the sower. If you don't have seed, how are you going to get a harvest? So God gives seed first, and then you sow the seed, and then you get the harvest. So he says, don't think in your mind, I'll give someday $10,000. Give if you have a dollar, dime. Don't think, you know, in your mind, and thinking, and you're not going anywhere. So that is no good. If you want to give something, give it what you have now. Verse 30.
For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but find equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality.
Okay, what he's trying to say, for example, that means now somebody thinks, I'm going to give it to Corinthian church $1,000. You give to Corinthian church $1,000, that church will think that in their need, you give them $1,000, they might give you when you have a need. That's the way it works. When somebody helps you, you help them. That's what he says. If somebody gives you a glass of water, you say, thank you. Not only that, you will be remembering that someday I want to pay him back. That's the way it works. Otherwise, there are people, gimme. They keep on taking it, but never wants to give it away. If you receive, you give. And if somebody gets it from you, he should think about you someday. That's why some people, you know, send a Christmas card. We send the Christmas card, then other people will send it to you back. So that's the way it works. And if they send Christmas card 2 years in a row and that person doesn't reply, then third year they drop that person from the list. So he's saying, when you're giving to somebody, don't worry that person will give you back or not, but God will inspire that person to give it back to you. Verse 15.
As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack.
Now why this verse is given here? This verse is given when the manna was poured down from heaven. You can read in Exodus chapter 16, verse 18. The manna was poured down, so some of the people got more and some of the people got less. But he says, what happened? Somebody got more or less, but they got equally. They did not have any problem. They got enough. So what he's trying to say, when you give it to somebody, God will give it back to you. You will not have any lacking. You give it to God, God gives back to you, and you will have more than enough. The word of God says, the little bit the righteous man has, that is more than the wicked man has. So here is saying, God supplies our needs, and he knows what you are lacking. Let's read verse 16.
But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you.
And now he's saying Titus came from there. He gave me the news that these people started having some fund to give it to the Lord. I don't know what was their goal. Sometimes people have chart there. And in that chart, they will tell you that $1 million goal. And each time they give, the chart goes up and up, and then they have to finish the goal. So we don't know the Corinthian church has some kind of goal or some kind of chart. But here he says, 1 year passed. And Titus came and told us that you are gathering some money. But when Titus heard these things, hey, Macedonia people gave without asking. So he said, Titus thought, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to the Corinthian church and tell them this story. So St. Paul said, I'm not forcing Titus to go. He himself has the desire to go. So he is trying to tell the Corinthian church, I'm not forcing Titus to go and get the money from you. I'm not commanding him, but he had the desire to go and do this job for the glory of God. That means Titus also thinking the people should giving to God. And already they started a work. Why they stopped? So I'm going to go and encourage them to give it to you. Okay, verse 18.
And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind.
Okay, now he's saying, this time Titus is coming, but we are not sending Titus alone. He says, Titus is coming with another brother. He did not give the name of the brother. And there is another brother. At least three people are coming for gathering money. Now somebody say, why three people? They have lots of loads of money, could not gather that much money. But he said, three people, the reason why, he said, I don't want you to be thinking Titus might be stealing some of the money. So if you think Titus already worked with you, but you know the Titus, but I'm sending another brother. That means two people I'm sending. I'm going to send a third person. So he said, we are going to send three people, so they will come and gather the money. Nobody can blame somebody that somebody stolen the church fund. So that's what he's saying. I'm going to send these three people to come to you to gather some money. Okay, verse 20.
Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us.
I do not want anybody blaming us. That we took your money and we did not use it for the glory of God. When you give it with the right hand, the left hand should not know. That's what Jesus taught. What does it mean? If you're giving to God with the right hand, left hand should not know means you should not go to pastor and say, what did you do with my money? Once you give it to the Lord, then Lord will take care of it. If the pastor is stealing the money, God will take care of that pastor.
Amen.
Because book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 says, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. Everything open and what? Naked to his eyes. That means you cannot hide from God. And if you steal from God, God will put you where? In hell. For that $1, you will go to eternity in hell. So here is saying, if you're giving to God, you don't worry about where your money is going. But if you have any doubt, I'm sending three people. And they will be taking the money because it's a large sum of money. And so we do not want any blame to our ministry. Verse 21.
Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men.
That's what he said, I'm sending these people. We want to be honest in the sight of God. We want to be honest with the sight of man. We do not want somebody blaming us. So St. Paul saying, we do not want myself or any other ministers to be blamed. Verse 22.
And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ.
So he said, I did not send ordinary people.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
The people who came to collect the money, they are well proven.
Yes, sir.
They are well servants of God. They are very dependable people. So I do not have any doubt about these people that they are going to steal money. They are going to do something wrong. They are going to do something fraud. So I know these people. They are working for the Lord and they are proven in the ministry.
Amen.
We are sending these people, our proven people. They are very good people. We tested them in the ministry. We depend on these people. And when these people come to you, they will not put you down. That's what he's trying to say. They are messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. What does it mean? They are not only messengers of the churches. They are not doing only service to God, but they are the glory of Christ. That means these people give glory to God through their life. Nobody can blame these people.
Amen.
And these are the people I'm sending to you. And so you do not worry about giving your money. Give generously. And that money will come to us. Don't you worry. Verse 24.
Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf.
Amen. So see, St. Paul knows how to write. He is trying to say, now I did everything that I sent these three people. The money will not be going here or there. Everything will be fine. But why I'm writing to this now, I want you to show that you can do what we told other churches to do. I said to Titus, I said to these two people, go on Corinthian church. They gather the money. Since 1 year they are gathering the money. And they will give. So he said, not only that, the other churches we told. Means Macedonia church and some other churches. Or now Corinthian church is going to give something. So he said, now prove yourself. And our boasting should not be go in vain. Means we boasted about you. That Corinthian church is a good church. They have lots of money and they are storing the money. He said, our boasting should not go in vain. In short, what he's trying to say, give us the money. Don't hold on to the money. Because he wants to use this money for the poor church in Jerusalem. So God has said, if your enemy hungry, give it to him. How much more to give it to the a brother in Christ?
Yes.
That's why St. Paul is saying, read that last verse.
Wherefore, show ye to them before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf.
Proof of your love. What does it mean? He says, if you really love the Lord, and then you'll give it to the Lord.
Amen.
If you don't love the Lord, then you don't give it to the Lord. So he said, prove it to the, not only to the Lord, but the other people. Let the whole world know that you are sold out to God. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. So Lord Jesus, you know our hearts. You know our needs. You have supplied all our needs. Our God is a good God. Thank you, Lord, for supplying our needs. Be with us. Sanctify us. Use us for the glory of God. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. Whatever you have given to us, the eternal life is going to stay with us. All the money, all the wealth, everything, we are going to keep it here and go with the empty-handed. So Lord, give us grace to use the talent you have given to us. Use the finances you have given to us for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.